the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight on Saturday night. What a privilege it is once again to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, buddy. Play a little more of it, brethren, if you will. Oh, play the song, guys. Play the song. They're all washed away. All my sins, they're washed away. One more time now. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so amazed how you care.
Precious blood, I found pardon.
Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Bill, is Sister Ivy, are you all ready tonight? I want to let you be seated for just a few minutes. We've got some young children tonight that's going to give us a song. How many of you enjoyed their song on Wednesday night? Did you enjoy that? Wasn't that wonderful? I've never seen so many violin players in my life, what we had here Wednesday night. It looks like there's going to be piano players tonight. So whatever they've got for us, let's give them a real nice hand as they come tonight. We'll go right on into the service, but let's enjoy these children as they play for you. I don't know how they're going to get arranged, but I'm sure it's going to be good.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
As they fall asleep,
just really start practicing up. Because any one of you could be replaced at any time, looks like. Did you enjoy that tonight? Give them a nice hand. Praise the Lord. Well, you've got to start them somewhere, don't you? And this is a wonderful place to start. Brother Bill, Sister Ivy, thank you so much for your work with these children. Amen. Let's stand tonight, if you will. We're going to look at our prayer request. Before we go any further, let me give you this testimony. I believe this thrilled my heart when I read it, and I believe it'll make you happy as well. Brother Eugene Kennedy says, I want to thank God and also everyone who has been praying for me for so long. The past couple of weeks, I have been feeling much better and so much stronger. I also want to thank God for the word that we have been hearing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Eugene, God bless you tonight, buddy. Amen. Here's just a quick note, asking for our prayers tonight. This is from Lewis Angel Human, or I hope I got that name probably not even close to being right, but they've been having some terrible traveling conditions. The roads just all to pieces, full of mud, and apparently on a trip to reach some folks and different things, ministering, and so they're asking that we would remember them in our prayers tonight. Sister Margaret Wilkinson says, this is request you and other faithful prayer warriors to pray for a little 5-year-old boy, Angelo, who fell from a chair and went into a coma. Today is day number 4 of him being in that coma, so let's pray for that child tonight, that the Lord would be mindful unto him. Also a prayer request for a boy by the name of Daniel in his late teens. He is a cousin to some of our grandchildren. He has had a motorcycle accident. They've managed to save his arm and leg, but they can't get the swelling down on his brain. It's touch and go just from this point on. So your prayers are very much appreciated. That also from Sister Margaret Wilkinson. So we certainly commit that unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to be merciful unto that situation. Sean Chapman wants us to remember their father in prayer, Dave, who was just diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, which affects his voice box. After further testing, he also was told that he had cancer on his brain. So we certainly want to just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Brother Gary wants us to remember Sister Lona in prayer. Also, Sister Jeannie Harrah, they both have the flu, very sick in body, need a touch from the Lord. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Christy Olson, who is to have a biopsy next week. So let's remember that need. Brother Jim Babb, still unable to be in the service. Brother Skip, is he doing any better? Still got pneumonia? Doing some better, so we want to certainly continue to pray for Brother Jim Babb. And, well, just a lot of sickness here in our assembly. I want to pray for all those that are sick tonight. Let's remember the family of Eli McKinney, had his burial this morning, and let's just pray for the family that the Lord would comfort their hearts, be with them during this time. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, Brother Palmer, would you come tonight, lead us to the Lord? Let's commit these things unto our Lord Jesus tonight. Let's invite His presence into this service and ask Him to have His perfect divine will on all these prayer requests tonight. Do you love the Lord with all your heart tonight? Isn't He wonderful? Yes. Praise the Lord. Brother Palmer, God bless you tonight as you lead us to the Lord.
Let's pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, we come tonight with thankful hearts, Lord. Thankful, oh God, for your many blessings on us. Thankful, Lord, for everything you do for us, for the shed blood of Calvary, for the stripes you suffered on your back that paid for our healing. Lord, we're thankful for the word that we have with us for this day. It's leading us and guiding us daily, getting us ready for the glorious body change. Lord, we just want to welcome you here tonight. Come walk amongst us, oh God. Lord, and just let our hearts be fed from the manna that's on high. Oh Lord, we need you, oh God, every second, every minute, every hour of the day. Lord, we bear before you now these needs. Each one, oh God, we can't remember them all, but many needs, Lord, some are life and death. Oh, God, I just pray you'd hear each one of them. Lord, we just submit them to you, believing in, coming together in faith, believing, Lord, that you'll hear and answer each one. Let your perfect will be done in each situation, oh, God. Lord, and as we enter the further part of the service, come speak to us through the man of God, Lord. Just anoint him, Lord. May he be able to move himself out of the way, oh, God, so that he can bring forth what you have for us. And help us, Lord, to open our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive it, Lord. Let us not only hear it, but let us live that precious word. Oh, God, just dying to self so that the life of Jesus Christ can shine forth in our lives. Help us, Lord, we pray. These needs we place in your hands. Your perfect will be done in each one, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Palmer. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All those that are streaming the service, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world tonight. Let me make this announcement. All children, practice for the Christmas special tonight after the service. Meet in the fellowship hall. Sister Ivy Blair wants to meet with you tonight. All the children, practice for the Christmas special. I guess that'll be doing that for us in the morning. You're to meet tonight after service in the fellowship hall with Sister Ivy Blair. So remember that. Are you glad to be in the church tonight? Are you glad to be the church tonight? Are you glad God loves you? Are you glad you love Him? Give Him another big hand time of praise tonight. 10,000 years would just be started. Amen. Let's sing this song tonight. 10,000 years will just be getting started. I like to practice up on this side though, don't you? 10,000 years will just be started. Thank you. Amen. Let's sing one more song tonight just before we have a couple of specials tonight. Remember how the Lord would lead, but let's just do this song tonight, a little bit of this song. It's been on my heart, running my last mile home. Now, Brother Harry says his voice is not really, really good tonight, but I think it's sounding real good, don't you? Let's sing a little bit of that, running my last mile home tonight, just before we change the order of the service.
When I come to the end of my journey, I live my lifetime for this stay long. Well, I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious. I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home.
Yes, we are.
Yes, I started out walking but I'm running my last mile home.
Oh, so ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. You're gonna roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne.
Little David, play the prettiest music.
Well, I'm a weary pilgrim, running the last mile home.
I'm a weary pilgrim, running the last mile. Crossroads on my journey, but never once has my God led me wrong.
Hallelujah.
The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. The road ahead straight, I'm running the last mile.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running the last mile. Oh,
ring the bell.
Faces till I don't feel at home here anymore. Well, I just heard the sound of old familiar voices.
Yes,
they're singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before.
Somebody say hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Harvey, you and Sister Shirley, if you'll come at this time, give us a song tonight. Appreciate our brother and sister. God bless them as they sing for us. And I believe they got a special guest going to help them tonight. So let's give these folks a nice hand as they come to sing for you.
Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us till the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to guide the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the land of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem,
shine upon us till the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to guide the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. Lord Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. Star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, give us thy light to guide the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
Amen. Let's sing that chorus tonight, just as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. Could we stand tonight? Are you going to be praying for him?
Yes.
Certainly we are. Have you been enjoying the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Has it been ministering to your heart?
Yes.
I'm sure it has. Praise the Lord. Let's just look to what God would have for us tonight. It's Jesus that I really want to see.
Amen.
How about you tonight?
Amen.
Let's sing this as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight. It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, the more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, the more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see.
Jesus, I really want in you and me. Oh, it's Jesus, I really want to see the more. Of this world, the less it means to me, and it's Jesus I want to see.
Praise the Lord. I trust that's your desire tonight. Carol and I passed a sign today, and on the sign it was a business here in Johnson City. They said the Word was made flesh. And Carol said, wow, that's something for a sign. I said, yeah, but we would update it and say the Word was made flesh and the Word is still being made flesh. Aren't you glad you can know that Christmas is not what it was? The real gifts come, and the real gift is still here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in church tonight? It's an honor for us, isn't it, to be gathered together in the presence of God. You think if it wasn't for the mercy of God, that sign out there that you passed coming in could say Church of Christ, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Nazarene, Catholic, whatever. You could be here as a Baptist or be here as some type of church member. Didn't really love God, but you had your name on the church book. You had come through the church ritual and routine. Then at the end of the way, the preacher would say some nice words over you. And in the judgment, you'd be raised. And you'd stand there and look at that preacher and say, why did you lead me this way? But God's grace gives you a hunger for truth. Truth. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. I know we've been reading these verses of scripture for several services, and I hope you don't get tired of hearing them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, as far as we know, Paul was not a medical doctor. As far as we know, they didn't have CT scans. They did not have brainwave machines. They did not have near the science and medical understanding in that day that we have today. But somehow Paul was inspired by God to write this. Maybe he didn't understand it exactly, all what effect it would have. Do you believe it's the Word?
Amen.
So it's been read for thousands of years. I find it so amazing that science is able to break in and see what actually happens when you think good things.
That's right.
Let's bow our heads together. I may like to be remembered in prayer tonight before the Lord. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Oh, so much, Jesus. Thank you, my Master. Lord, I so desire to be in closer communion with you, Lord, than ever before. I desire, Heavenly Father, that my life can be a reflection of your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray that as we endeavor to look into your word tonight, that you would help us. We know if there'll be anything of eternal value and eternal quality that'll come out of the service tonight, it'll have to be from you doing it. Humans played the music A human being led the singing. A human being just read the scripture. A human being is preparing to speak to us. Human beings will sit here and listen. Human beings will say amen. So without divine intervention, all it'll be is one human after another after another. But God, we're looking beyond the human part tonight. And we want to look to you, Lord, to believe that you'll take this service and you will bring honor and glory to yourself. Give us ears to hear. Help me to speak as the oracle of God. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'd like to take those last four words there of what Paul said. Think on these things. We'd like to look back at some of the scriptures that we looked at. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and we'll lay just a little bit of a scriptural foundation again before we go into this a little bit tonight by the help of the Lord. Look at what Isaiah said so many, many years ago. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Stayed is to rest, lean against, support, uphold, sustain, refresh, or revive. Matthew 15:17, do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth the mouth goeth out into the belly, is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth can come forth from the heart. They defile the man. Now listen to Jesus himself. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemy. Do you realize, friends, that all the crime, all the murders, all the things that we see that are going on in the day that we're living, do you know that Satan has an assault, and he's had it for many, many years, but it's been a silent one, and people have allowed it. Years ago, no doubt people laughed and made fun of Brother Branham when he talked about television and people watching movies and filling their minds with all kinds of those. Oh, that's crazy. Who ever heard of such a thing? But you see, he was speaking against it when it was in his infancy. Whenever the violence at that time was an old cowboy movie and somebody shooting another man off of a horse or robbing a bank or something like that. But that was not what Satan was going to wind up doing. What he was going to wind up doing was each one that come out, make it a little bit more violent, a little bit more aggressive. I wonder how many times that 15, 16-year-old kids in their lifetime of watching television and movies and violent video games and all of that, how many people have they seen murdered? How many people have they seen their brains blowed out or, you know, cut all to pieces with a knife? And we think that don't affect them? Sure it affects them. You better watch what your children. Let me tell you something. I realize that as the people of God, we have to guard and protect the sanity of our children from this age and this generation that we're in. As we go on, it's going to get worse and worse. Can you imagine, you know, 25, 30 years ago, some of you that's sitting here tonight that's 40, 50, 60 years old, you'd have never heard of an 8-year-old boy killing his daddy. A 9-year-old boy cutting his mother's throat. 15, 16-year-old boys and girls killing one another and doing all kinds of things. And we think, what's going on? Who's to blame? What's going on? Hollywood's to blame with a lot of it. I said Hollywood's to blame with a lot of it. And parents are to blame with a lot of it. Because they allow anything and everything. Come on now, don't get quiet. Some of you message folks think just because it's on a video and not a television, it don't make no difference. There is no difference. If it's the same nonsense, don't you understand what it wants to do? It wants to control the minds of our people. It wants to control the minds of our people to where Satan then, not from in the pits of hell. He's not doing it from the pits of hell with demons. He's doing it from the influence and the things that they read, the movies that they watch, all of it over and over and over again and corrupting their minds. He knows it. You may not believe it, but he knows whoever controls your mind controls you. And Jesus says, you know, before they ever had television, before they ever had any of these things that we've got today, and Jesus said, from the heart comes out of all these things. Adulteries, fornication, blasphemy, all the evil things from where? From the heart. It cannot come from the heart.
without first the brain, the mind, the thought pattern, the psyche, the soul, being able to meditate and think and move on and on and on. Is this true? Notice this in Luke 12:28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more would he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. Now, metaphorically, it is taken from ships that are tossed about on the deep by winds and waves to cause one to waver or fluctuate in their mind. So here Jesus tells us to not be of a doubtful mind. You remember the story Brother Ram tells us about a girl who had never drunk, who had never been out in the world, never been kissed by a boy. And she goes to a psychiatrist and the psychiatrist said, you've never been kissed. You've never drunk, you've never done this and that and the other. And Brother Branham said he, with understanding the power of the mind, was able to talk that girl out of her experience with Christ. And when she backslid, started doing things that was wrong, and then she lost her mind. And then they called for Brother Branham to come and pray for her. And he said he was able to change her mind. Now you see, this girl had some type of an experience with God. But the power of that psychiatrist was so strong, and his words and his persuasiveness moving on what? This girl's mind. And the mind was so powerful that it talked her out of whatever experience that she had with the Lord. No wonder Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. We need to be careful what we think. We need to be careful what we talk. We need to be careful what our testimony is. Notice Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To lead away captive, to capture one's mind, captivate. Now, do you think that Paul and Jesus and Peter and Isaiah, you think that they were projecting a mind over matter, a Christian science, a positive talk it, name it, claim it type of thing? No, they were not. They were projecting from the mind of God a correlation that works in a supernatural principle as well as a natural principle. Now, it's amazing to me when you go to looking at God, how that when God set up the creation and brought all the things into view in this earth, that God made laws. Many of those laws have parallels. They will run in the laws of the spiritual application, and they will run also a very close similitude in the natural application as well. This is why the word, the Logos, can be taken. It can be applied spiritually by a rhema-minded, born-again child of God. It can be applied naturally by a Logos member, carnal-minded person, and they'll be able to take certain laws from this Logos, apply it to their life, and they will work perfectly. They themselves may not even be born again. They themselves may not even have the Holy Ghost, but yet they understand that law of God, and they don't even need the Holy Ghost to make certain laws of God work. You got up this morning, you breathed the air, all the laws in you that work by God, the drunk done the same thing. The whoremonger done the same thing. They're sitting on the bar stool tonight drinking, and yet they're operating under the law of God of breath and life and cell multiplication and all kinds of things. They don't think about God, but yet they're living under the benefit of the law of God. You understand what I'm saying? But when it comes to certain things of God, only the supernatural bride has that access. Praise the Lord for that. But there are some things that people can do. This is why people get confused. When people get anointed, they lay hands on them and say, oh, so-and-so prayed for me. He must be a good man. Not necessarily. He may have just understood how to make that law of God work when it comes to divine healing. And doing that, people say, oh, I know he's a man of God. I know that's a man of God. No, it's not. Anointed ones at the last day will be able to understand to break into those principles and make them work and not even be born again. Is that right? Sure. So Satan also now, he has learned that there's certain things that can be done in the Word that will make the Word live, and he'll use these in a deceitful manner. But now when we lay that apart, let us look at now at the promises in the Word. So is it just mind over matter, just to say positive things and have positive talk and think positive? Or is it the Word of God? Will positive thinking by itself do it for you? It will not. Now, as I said to you last weekend, you can talk all you want to talk. I'm going to be a millionaire. millionaire. I'm going to be the handsomest man in the world. Come on, friend, let's be real. Some of that ain't never going to happen. Some of y'all was born ugly. You're going to die ugly. It'll just take a change to make you pretty. That's all you can say. There's hope for us in the millennium. Thank God. But don't go to say, well, glory to God, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to be a millionaire. You can say that till you're blue in the face. But if God knows it would damn you to be a millionaire, you ain't going to be no millionaire. I'm talking about taking the Word, applying it to our lives, those things that the Word says. The Word doesn't say all of God's children is going to be rich. It doesn't say all of God's people is going to have all kinds of money. It does say, my God will supply all of your needs. Not all of your wishes, not all of the things that you wish you had, but my God will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. Now watch, but does it make any difference really for a child of God whether they think positive or negative or have a positive testimony or a negative testimony? Now let's first look at it from the natural side. Switching to positive thoughts is a matter of making a conscious effort to get rid of negative thoughts. You need not fight them, but rather replace them with positive ones. Now let's look at this one more. We closed out last Sunday on the natural side from a physical standpoint. From neuropeptides, which is the molecules of your emotions. Your cells feel the way you do. Your thoughts do create your reality. What you spend your time thinking about actually becomes the facts of your life. That's why positive affirmations actually work. Repeating. Now listen to this from a medical standpoint. Repeating simple, positive, powerful statements to yourself changes the frequency of the vibrations around your neuropeptides. Boy, I'd like to turn my neuropeptides upside down, wouldn't you? Woo! I'd like to make them dudes quiver and shake. You know why? Because I want to be a better Christian than I've ever been in my life. Could it be that some of our defeat and our walk with God is simply because of the way we think and what we say and what we believe about ourselves? So notice what it does. Just changing the thought pattern in the brain changes the frequency of the vibrations around your own neuropeptides, allowing cells to function better. Your mind to find solutions to reach your goals and your whole body-mind system to function optimally. Wow. Changing your habitual thought patterns to one of positivity and love to remove energy blockages will allow the electrons around the nucleus of your neuropeptides to send positive feel-good vibrations of waves and particles through your mind, body, mind, being. Lord have mercy. So what does that mean in common lay terms? That means you can be a happier Christian. I believe some of the worst testimony we can ever have on the kingdom of God is we're never happy. Some of you folks, I wonder, do you have any joy? You come in here and look like that big old giraffe I've got mounted in my basement. His face is about that long. You never smile. You never act like you're on the winning side. You never look like anything good's ever happened. Oh, brother, darling, it ain't. Well, I'm going to try my best to change your thinking, to show you there is a way that we as Christians, right in the middle of hell, right in the middle of trouble, but we as the people of God can have victory. Not victory over them, victory over us. Oh, my. Now watch what happens. Changing your habitual thought patterns to one of positivity and love to remove energy blockages will allow the electrons around the nucleus of your neuropeptides to send positive feel-good vibrations of waves and particles through your body, mind, being. These vibrations bind to your cell receptors and allow the message to go right into your physical and spiritual DNA. And this ain't wrote by a preacher, it's wrote by a doctor. Emotions like bitterness, unresolved anger, resentment, fear, and worry constantly trigger your stress response. Well, you say I made up that way, I can't help it. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but that's a lie of the devil. These then become buried in ever, notice this, buried in ever deepening layers inside the cell memories. The layers become the physical footprints of your dream body, psyche or soul, manifesting in physical illness or chronic health problems. Once the cell memories are awakened, they can reach the conscious mind so that you can make contact with your whole integrated human beingness, leading to the identification of the deep issues that might play a role in the disease process. Now you imagine how that Satan, looking at the human being, knowing how we're made, and able just to cause negative thoughts, down thoughts, discouraging thoughts. Now you realize what happens to many folks. They go through a very, very difficult time. You know what always bothers me when you see children of God going through bitter things. And them children of God come on the other side of that bitter thing, bitter like the thing was they went through. So you realize instead of them maintaining their victory in the time of this bitter situation, they actually become the situation. That even though the same situation is not now living and manifesting itself through them, but they actually picked up such bitterness in that situation, they have been changed. They've lost their joy. They've lost the attitude. Now they're sarcastic. They pick this, they pick that. Nothing's ever right anymore. Don't you understand why? That has now become the focus of themselves. They come through a bitter situation and they become bitter. Now the situation is past and gone, but the lingering effects of it is still in their psyche. The lingering effects is still in their memory and their cells wrapped around the nucleus of all of that. And they're becoming more bitter and more picky and more hateful. Christians. Whew. Brother Branham used a theological term and called them mossback. Moss always grows on the north side of the tree, which means the side which has the least amount of sunshine. I don't want to be a moss back. I want my back toward the south. Glory. I want my back. I want my whole being in the presence of the sun. As a matter of fact, I want to be like a rotisserie in a microwave when you push the button. I'm constantly just going around and around and around. I don't want no moss on my ears. I don't want no moss on my back. I don't want no moss on my fingers. I don't want no moss. I don't want no moss nowhere. I'm not supposed to be moss. I'm supposed to be a tree. Oh my. Notice this, one of the strongest effects of positive thoughts, it gives you the power to control your body on a cellular level. When you're thinking positively about your life, your body is at rest. No adrenaline, your heart is happy. No stress hormones like cortisol running through your system which make you sick and old. How many wants to get sick? How many wants to get old? Are you sure you don't? Do you understand by worrying and stressing and thinking negative thoughts, you are bringing old age on yourself at a more rapid rate than what naturally even should have to be. Glory. My Lord, time I get done with this series, I'm probably going to be about 25. I'm already 18 of my soul, so... Now watch this. Your cells, what's this? How simple. Your cells want more of the happy chemicals that are produced when you're thinking positive, and your cells will help you stay positive so they can get their fix. Oh my goodness, wouldn't it be something if our cells got so addicted to happiness? Wouldn't it be something if our souls got so addicted to happiness like our soul has got addicted to the Holy Ghost? And you folks went around with a smile all the time, and they say there's something wrong with them people. Look at them. They're always smiling. They're on something. Is it Kool-Aid? Is it meth? What is it? Oh, my. It ain't meth. It ain't Kool-Aid. It's resurrection and life. Now, if doctors say this from the natural standpoint, what about a child of God taking the word? I want my cells to be so addicted to happiness, they wake me up at 3 a.m. need a fix. Your brain is a very powerful tool that can be used either positively or negatively impact your life. Your brain frequencies affect how you think, how you feel, how you react to life on a daily basis. What if you could control your brain so that it only allowed you to experience the low frequency states associated with relaxation? Lord have mercy. Now this don't mean that you're going welfare now and sit on the front porch. What are you doing? I'm in the state of relaxation. It ain't changing one person out here. It's changing none of the deaths. None of the murders. It's changing you. And how you relate to it all. My goodness. So your brain then affects the low frequency states associated with relaxation, alertness, focus, happiness, awakened consciousness, and manifestation. Although your brain affects your reality, it's also true that your thoughts affect your brain. Now watch how they correlate. Your brain affects reality, but your thoughts affect your brain. By changing what you think to positive thought forms, you can literally change the way your brain operates and how they feel. Positive thoughts can actually change your brain wave levels and influence the frequencies you experience. Any of y'all ever been shocked by electricity? Well, Skip, I know you have. I know just enough about electricity and wiring to get myself hurt bad. But I've got into a few wires at times, and there's something about it. When you get a hold of it, you don't care if you touch it again. You just, something about it, it just sends charge. I got lightning struck one time when I was a kid. The storm come out, I sat on the back porch near a washing machine, and man, the lightning run down through the ground, come over there, knock me down, knock my shoes off, and I ain't never got over it. So y'all say, now we know what's wrong with you. But there's something about it that the body responds. The body's not respond to made to be able to respond properly to lightning or electricity. And you understand that even in the fall, Father could have changed our physiology. He could have changed our anatomy. But He left our body in such a way that under such stress, after the fall, under such sin, He still made a way that our body could positively respond to the right things in the Word of God. That right in the middle of hell, I'm so glad He did it. Right in the middle of hell, we don't have to go around and be depressed. We don't have to go around feeling sorry for ourselves. But we can have a test in a world that is absolutely insane. To me, this is just like my father. More people going nuts, and he tells us this. Most people ain't got hardly 14 same thoughts in their mind one day, maybe one week with many of them, and yet he's telling us this. Ain't that just like him? Watch this. Men who believe their risk of suffering from cardiovascular disease was lower than average were 3 times less likely to die from heart attacks and strokes than men who believed otherwise, found a 15-year study conducted by the University of Rochester Medical Center. So men just simply believed that they were beneath the average Well, your daddy, your grandpa died with one, so what do we do? I guess I'll die with one too. Your cells are starting to work on it right there. Well, my daddy had cancer, my so-and-so, my, well, the doctor said it runs. That's exactly right. It does run there. But you are a Christian. You have another source, another ability, friends. How much are we accepting and then we get angry at God? Do you understand that many of you have been working for years on setting yourself up for a heart attack? Dr. Karina Davidson's 10-year study of 877 healthy women and 862 healthy men published in February 2010. Issue of European Heart Journal. Participants who reported feeling happier had less heart attacks than those who felt less happy. Amen. Now, we take fish oil. There ain't no telling what us humans would put in our mouths. If somebody said, this will help with heart attacks, and this will help with this, and this will help with that, and that of mine, we still buy snake oil by the gallons. And the truth of it is, we may do the whole thing, and we're killing ourselves with this and this. Notice this in law in Chicago. This is so much thought of today, Brother Mim said. People say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. You're talking his language right then. You mean his language ain't there's no God? His language is there's no hell, there's no God, there's no heaven? That's only for fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That won't work for most of us. That will not work for us to say there is no God. But to say I'm not a very good Christian, that suits us. I don't have very much faith. That suits us. Why? Because most of us had these things impounded in us since we were children. Parents, do you understand what you have the ability to do right now for those of you that's got children at home? You have the ability by the Spirit of God to help influence your children. If there is another 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, you'll spare them from going through many of the unnecessary things that you and I have went through. Watch this. Brother Ben said, don't never let your testimony be negative. I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is hard to do. Come on, don't sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive when you feel like it. When you're on the mountain, when all the bills are paid. Now notice he gives us examples. Remember what this doctor said a while ago? Short, positive affirmations that you say it over and over again. Now listen to some short, positive affirmations from Malachi 4. I am saved. I have God in my heart. I believe Him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all my heart. Let your testimony always and your... You see, people quote the scripture in the book of Revelation and say they're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they apply that to a testimony service. And say, well, if I'm going to be an overcomer, I've got to get up before people and testify. That scripture is not a testimony meeting. If you notice the last part of that verse, and it said they love not their lives even unto death. So their testimony is not getting up before people and say, well, God healed me and God done this and God done that and God done that. Their testimony is their life. The way they live day by day by day, what they say, the way they unfold it. Come on now. So it's not just what you are here in church. You might be so positive in this atmosphere. But your real testimony is what you are outside these doors. And if you're down and weak and negative and all that sort of thing, believe it or not, that is your testimony. It's not what you scream and holler and shout glory to God when you're here in church. It's what you put on Facebook. It's how negative you are about this and how negative. And you say, oh, glory to God, my testimony. Uh-uh. It's what you do every day. That's your testimony. You do understand, friends, the real you is that one that's buried deep within, from where all these thoughts emanate. It would probably be scary if we had an ability when we walk by people at Lowe's or Walmart or even people we go to church with and see the real embedded them and have the ability to look and perceive the thoughts that they're thinking. The thinking of how to rape a woman. The thinking of how to murder, how to mutilate, how to do this, how to do that. That's the real them. Don't you understand why people are so surprised by mass murders and all these things? I said, I was around that man. I would have never thought that. They didn't really know him. The real him was buried deep inside in that subconscious where all those thoughts are going on. You don't understand? They call it self-talk. Oh, you say only nuts talk to themselves. No, all human beings do. Oh my. Well, you say I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, then be like the farmer said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place. But he sure could stop them from roosting. So that's a good thing. You can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't entertain them. Just pass it on. No, sir. Jesus Christ is my Savior. It ain't enough to say Jesus is the Savior of the world. You're defeated. Jesus loved the world. You're defeated. Jesus died so you could be healed. You're defeated. He is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. Praise the Lord. Notice this. What kind of folks would we be if we would take these short positive affirmations and make them our everyday walk and talk before God? He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my Deliverer. I am more than able. I'm more than able to make it. Friends, I know you don't realize it, but in your subconscious you have been programmed since many of you were a child. Your mother, your father, your uncle, your grandfather, a school teacher, somebody, and it might have bruised you in your subconscious, and you were afflicted maybe by a sentence or a paragraph of something, a great embarrassment in your life, and somebody told you, you are an idiot, and you'll never be nothing other than an idiot. And even though you're a Christian and you come to God and you give God your soul and you dress right on the outside, but down in your subconscious, you still have this imagery of yourself. I'm an idiot. I'm nothing. I'll never be nothing. And you confess the word. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus, do this for me. Do that for me. But that real something down on the inside keeps telling you, you'll never amount to nothing. When he preaches Serpent City, he looked straight at you. When he talked about this, he looked straight at you. And from within you, you automatically categorize yourself by those deep-seated thoughts. I don't mind telling you, I sang about it today. If I was the devil, I'd have been tore all to pieces over the last few weeks of meetings here at the church. I thought, poor old fella. I was thinking about if there's a pharmacy down in hell, he might ought to get him a prescription of nerve pills. I guess he's just about worried sick. He said, dear God, if them people get that, what in the world am I going to do with them? They've been hearing the mysteries all these years. They've been hearing these great deep things all these years. Now they're going to find out how to use them. They've been sitting around this message. Now they're going to find out how to turn that power loose. Oh my. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God. I'm going to keep them and I'm going to testify of them. And God can only bless you as you confess. It's not enough to think about it. It ain't enough to nod. He's not the high priest of your nodding. He's the high priest of your Glory. Notice he can only bless you as you. Can you imagine it's so synchronized in heaven that Jesus can only bless you in the abundant measure as you confess on the earth? So if we confess very little, he blesses very little. Others will confess more and he'll bless more. And then we get an attitude against God because he gives them more than he gives us. Well, glory. Hebrews 3 said he's the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we accept it and believe it and confess it. Maybe tomorrow afternoon, if God will, and I want to get around to something that's on my heart so strong, how to receive the Lord Jesus. But maybe it'll be better in Sunday school. Now watch. Brother Bram wants them people to comprehend and understand the blessings of God is not controlled by Satan. The abundance of the blessing of God, the stream to you as an individual, there ain't a devil in hell that can stand between me and my Lord Jesus. But my own ignorance can. Can I go on? Thank you. Brother Ben said, see, we have lots of hope, but not much faith. So we want to change from hope today to positive faith. And there's only one way we can get positive faith. Now I want you to listen to this. That's by positive thinking of positive things. Now tell me, why has this quote been buried here in the message for all these years? Any of y'all ever heard it in your life? Wonder why. It's time. I said it's time. It's been laying there in the treasures of God's great mind. And God sends a preacher down in there, a prospector. He goes down in the dust and he goes down and risks his life. And he goes down in there. What's he hunting for? Hunting for food in the gold mine. Hunting something to illustrate and instruct and develop the people of God in a more mature way. And all of a sudden he feels inspired and he sets down his life and he goes to digging and he goes to digging and the timbers are cracking above it. And the devil says, you better get out of here. And he says, I ain't running. I'm staying here till I dig something out for the people of God. And all of a sudden he's digging and he's digging. And when he does, the light shines down and there it is. A nugget, a key for the people of God. Glory! Listen to this. Brother Branham actually say this. And there's only one way we can get positive faith. That's by positive thinking. A positive thing. Anybody believe this besides me? Now watch this again from a medical standpoint. When you put into your mind, what you put into your mind affects the chemistry of your brain. When you put in positive things, you push the chemistry in a positive direction. When you put in negative things, you push it in a negative direction. I want you to listen how complex our Father made you. Your brain has billions of neurons, brain cells, and trillions of connections between those neurons. Brain cells are not physically connected directly with each other, like wires in your house or car. The neurons are connected indirectly through special chemicals called neurotransmitters. And one day a baboon fell out of a tree and hit the earth and he was a man. Me and Carol were sitting yesterday eating a little lunch together at the Mexican restaurant down in Elizabeth, and I told her, I said, you know, all these scientists are so smart and figure out all these things, and yet how in the world they figured all these just happened to be. And I reached down and got one of them Mexican chips out of that Mexican bowl there. And I said, it'd be about like this chip right here changed the entire car. Can you imagine all the operations in a car and all the things in this chip all of a sudden just changes from that into that? How in the world can they not see a great creator that made all these things happen? So you've got billions of neurons and you've got trillions of connections between those neurons. Don't worry, friends. You don't have to understand how all this works. Just follow the simple procedure. This will do all the rest of this complex stuff itself. Amen. Notice this. So the neurons are connected indirectly through special chemicals called neurotransmitters. When one brain cell talks to another, it sends using neurotransmitters. Now remember, there's no wires that runs this one to that one, but chemicals. Chemicals that are released, and they are talking one to the other by the release of these chemicals. The sending cell releases a tiny packet of chemicals. Now I know you didn't realize it tonight, but this single cell walked out of that office door with a packet of chemicals. Now this single cell is wanting to transmit. Is there anybody out there wanting to receive? Oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The sending cell releases a tiny packet of chemicals that carries the message to the receiving cell. This scenario repeats trillions of times each day. The amount of distribution of the neurotransmitters is critical to the normal functioning of your brain. The health of your brain cells and the amount of neurotransmitter chemicals available have a great deal to do with your state of mind. People who have severe depression are often found to have a deficiency in the amount of neurotransmitters available for use. That makes sense why you're sad sometimes. You ain't got enough chemicals. So you come to church and here stands this big old globby cell, Brother Louie. This big old fat cell standing up here and trying to release all this energy. Come on, everybody. Let's worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're saying, oh, Lord. Oh, good night. Won't you understand what he's trying to do? He's trying to release some energy. He's trying to help pull your mind together. Watch this. Now, drugs that deplete the supply of neurotransmitters often lead to depression. Drugs that elevate the supply tend to alleviate depression. Some of y'all need a fix. Now, watch this. For thousands of years, people have experimented with the chemistry of their brain. Alcohol. LSD. Oh my goodness. So you mean folks get hooked on drugs because it fools with the chemistry of their brain and makes them feel different. It rearranges it. Don't you understand, friend? What Satan has done, especially in this age, people that are hooked on meth and hooked on all these things, don't you understand what it is? They're crying for something. They're looking for something, and Satan allowed them to break into God's laboratory in order to make something to the neurotransmitters of the brain. And many of them will become addicted after the first try. Ecstasy, amphetamines, crack cocaine, heroin, marijuana are all chemicals that people use to change their brain chemistry. To achieve a different mental state. So they smoke it or drink it or however they get it in. And all of a sudden it brings this euphoria. It brings this to help them to escape. But they don't understand that with this comes another and another. You gotta keep doing it more and more. Because now the brain must have it. And yet God has made a way that you and I have the capability within ourselves to change the chemistry of our brains by thoughts and words. Don't you understand? If positive thought can change the chemistry of my brain, cannot the Word of God change the chemistry of my body? If positive thoughts can actually release these things, these neuropeptides, into my body, and my cells go to acting happy, and they're shouting all on top of one another, and they're doing that, what can the revelated Word of God do to my entire body? These chemicals alter the physiology of your brain. And if you abuse them long enough, they alter the anatomy as well. So watch people who get addicted to heroin and meth and all that. Watch, their teeth will go. Many of the men, their hair will go. They chant, "Lord, have mercy, children." Don't you see what's happening? What the chemistry of their brain is changing. They're bringing on a body change. But it's not a good one. Now watch what happens. There's two parts of the brain here that we want to focus on. Changing the physiology of your brain takes your mind on a temporary trip to another location. Changing the anatomy not only takes you to a different mental destination, but it leaves you there with a permanent brain damage. Don't you understand what happens to us when we're in church? When an anointed man of God preaches, don't you understand what happens to you? You've been in service as well as I have. And when he's preaching on the woman at the well, you're standing right there. You bumped into her. I'm sorry, lady. Forgive me. This is your story. I'm sorry. You ever been there when a gift of God takes that word and you let your mind and your soul? Now look, you can't do it just with your soul. But your mind must be allowed to go with that word. And then your spirits, your imagination. And what do? You become a time traveler. You're standing there with a woman at the well. You're standing there with Abraham meeting Melchizedek. And once you come back down, you're hooked. You say, "Lord, have mercy. How many more days to church? Oh, no, it's Thursday, Friday. Oh, man, I got to get back to church." Why, you addict, you got to be fixed again. You got to have another dose of that Holy Ghost. You got to have another dose of that anointed word. Every thought that you think is embedded at some level in the chemistry of your brain. When you say that someone has a positive mind, you infer that their positive thoughts are embedded in the biochemistry of their brain. Your brain consists of hundreds of different types of molecules, chemicals, arranged in a highly complex configuration. Some of those chemicals are relatively stable structural molecules that create the anatomy of your brain. Other chemicals are non-structural, and they create the physiology of the brain. And it takes both types of chemicals to make your brain work. Your brain contains trillions of cells, and each of those cells is a highly organized bag of chemicals. Your brain cells talk to each other, using neurotransmitters, which are a different class of chemicals. Fell out of a tree one day as a monkey, and I become this complex human being. Now watch this. Electrical impulses transmit messages throughout your central nervous system. And other types of chemicals called ions are responsible for creating those electrical potentials. Your brain is an infinitely complex living chemistry set. It's the chemistry of life. And that's why it's called biochemistry. The chemistry of your brain isn't static. Furthermore, what you put into your mind actually influences the chemistry of your brain. So let's say for 10, 15, 20 years, you had put into your brain thoughts, "You're no good, you're no counts, you're sorry, you're always a loser. never had a dad, so you come out of a broken home, a split home, divorced. All kinds of things can make all these things. You look down on yourself, never have any confidence in yourself. Say your wives come from a divorce situation, and you somehow relate that to your association with God because your marriage has failed. Saying, "Well, I'll fail with Jesus too." And then when you come, you hear that, and you'll hear preachers preach sermons. Other people will never pick out in the sermon what you do, but you'll pick out into you. It's like the word is so abusive, it's so harsh. You know what? You're still living under that beaten wife syndrome. That thing is still rooted in you for years of verbal abuse. And when you hear a preacher preach, it's like your husband over you with a stick beating you. Other folks out there never bother them. Why? Their physiology and the anatomy of their brain has not been affected by those thoughts. But to you, you leave so down and so defeated because it's like you've been beat to death the whole service. And then we wonder why we don't get more out of church. Let me find a place to close this science class. The distribution and balance of neurotransmitters in your mind vary with your mood. Oh, Lord, I'd say some of our neurotransmitters don't know if they're neuros or transmitters then. The way our moods fluctuate, they probably say, "I'm out of here." I don't know if I'm a neutron, a neutron, a notron, a lotron. I don't know if I'm even a tron. I'm just getting out of here. I'm sick of all this depression. I'm sick. Don't you understand, friends? Why Satan wants to do this to us, we can sit under the greatest word that's ever been on the earth, and it don't lift us that high. Because we're so down within here. One type of brain chemistry is associated with depression and negative thoughts. A different type is associated with a positive state of mind. Positive self-talk pushes the chemistry of your brain in a positive direction. When you use positive self-talk on a regular basis, you do more than create a positive mind. You actually create a positive brain. Now, can you imagine if this is proven scientifically, but just by talking, I'll be able to make it. I can be a better person. You know, those of you that have been in professional sports, you know, one of the first things they will do is help you get rid of your negative sarcasm. Even if you fumble, they want to help you learn by that mistake and don't get down on that because you'll affect the rest of the team. Do you understand, friends, that they are now breaking into the mind, psyche, thought, beingness of your whole entire being with pain disorders such as fibromyalgia and teaching people through cognitive behavior therapy that even though the pain is there, that they can train their brain to ignore that pain. Lord Jesus. Self-talk is the dialogue we use to communicate to ourselves. It's the words we think and the perceptions we have of situations and of our own self-image. Whether positive or negative, self-talk affects our sense of self-worth, our self-esteem, how we perceive and react to situations. In short, it literally affects everything in our lives. Because our thoughts directly determine our actions. So if our thoughts are positive, our actions will also be positive and vice versa. Our thoughts create reality. They influence our feelings and perceptions about what's going on in our lives. They determine what we notice in the world around us and what we attract to our lives. By expecting the negative, we filter our experiences and interpret events in a way that meets these expectations. People who always think this way, every situation that happens around them, they'll always pull themselves to be the blame. Three sisters in the church, three brothers in the church going to go out for breakfast Monday morning. And the other two brothers call, "We can't come, brother." Then if the brother they call has this negative perception, it's always about him. They don't like me. They don't want to be around me. And you think we don't need help? Do you understand that much of what we're self-talking to ourselves ain't nothing but a pack of lies? Let me close with this. My last statement is from Dr. Branham. Talking with a group of doctors the other day. He said, I read your book on divine healing. I said, I guess you criticize. I said, no, sir. I admit you're right. I said, thank you, Dr. Schilling. He said, Brother Branham, we have record that when we tell a person he's got a malignancy or something is going to kill him, an ulcer ready to burst or tubercular, it depends on what attitude they take. If they get all tore up, said they'll die right away. But said, if they take the attitude, well, dying is part of living. What a strange way to look at it. Even though that is true. When I die, well, you know, it almost retards that case. You mean just that out? We're not talking about Christians. We're not talking about message folks taking quotes. We're just talking about somebody being told by a doctor, you got TB, you got a malignancy, and if they will say, hey, dying is part of living, it's like it releases something on that in their body, and it starts that thing in regression. Of course, if we go around like this all the time, well, that's just my luck. That's just the way it is with me. Everything always happened bad to me. That's just the way it goes for me. It's always been this way all of my life. You understand what you're doing? You're having dialogue with yourself. This is your self-talk. This is you. This is you. This is where you live. This is your subconscious. And remember, when you're saying this, your subconscious is taking this all in. And this is what it believes about you. It don't believe when you're in church and you get all the work up. Oh, glory, oh, glory. Because it knows that's not really you. Brother Bram says this, and I just thought, if that mental attitude taken like that, what will it do when the Holy Spirit strikes the inner man? There it is. And I asked him that. And he said, certainly that's right. If you can move into a spot and move up into that. One of the best surgeons and doctors that we have in the South. And he said, Mr. Branham, it can be proved. If a man will move, can move up into that spot until even his own mind don't even know he's got it. To think he's got it. And don't even pay any attention to it. If he can believe that, that's true. Brother Ram says the mental attitude you take toward it will bring it. Now the mind won't do it. But you give that attitude. Listen to this. This is the key. You give that attitude towards something that's got life in it. Lord, mercy. Then that life comes down and does it. Not your mental attitude. That only brings you in the presence of Him. That's what you do. Your mind. Brother Branham had a very simple slogan. I wonder how many of you have ever heard it. It was very simple statements. He refers to it several times in the message. And he said, I've always had this slogan. It was, do right, that's your duty to God. Think right, that's your duty to yourself. And you're bound to come out right. What a powerful slogan. So you can imagine, my duty to God, Brother Darrell, is to do right. But my duty to myself is to think right. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. What do you think about Jesus? He's all right, ain't he? What do you think about this word? Life changing. Now, what do you think about you? It would be interesting if each of us would write down much of our self-talk. What you say to yourself about yourself and what you believe about yourself. We'd probably be ashamed of ourselves. I'm not talking about pride now, friends, and arrogance and saying empty things that have no value. I'm talking about what we really talk to ourselves and what we believe about ourselves. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I've wondered for years when Brother Branham would say, the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. You say, the right mental attitude? Just the right mental attitude? I'm already changed. By God's grace, just in setting these things, it's already changed the way I'm looking at myself. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for it. Now I realize I got a head start on y'all because I've been looking at this thing for several weeks. I studied over 6,000 quotes this week in scriptures. Over 6,000. On the word think, thought, thoughts, mind, minds, minding, on and on and on and on and on. 2,569 quotes in one word. So I do have a jump on you. But don't worry, I ain't going to leave without you. I want us to go together. Brother Donnie, does that mean we're not supposed to talk about our troubles at home? Oh, no, talk about them. But pray that God will make you sensitive to know when you've talked about it enough to go on. I have to talk about all kinds of stuff. Every day my life is filled with so much stuff. It takes God to help me. Me and Carol have to deal with so much stuff. Say you're going through a strain in your family. In 6 weeks or 2 months from there, it may pass from you. I helped you bear your load. But when yours passed, another brother moved on to one just as bad, if not worse. And then people in South Africa who consider me their pastor. People in Canada who consider me their pastor. People in India who consider me their pastor. And if they do, they run into problems, they send me emails. So I'm dealing with them all over the world. If God don't help me, there's no way for me to even survive. But I'm glad I found a place of refuge. I wish I could change all your problems and make them all better. But I can't, friends. I can try my best to help you sort through them and help you to deal with them. But we got to learn how to go on. We wish we could change all of our family. We wish all of them was here. We wish all of them was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But we know in reality, all of them probably won't be. But how's that going to affect you? Are you going to let that destroy your life and ruin your testimony as being a child of God? Or are you going to go on? Are you going to go on and be a positive Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, and have not just joy to survive, but joy unspeakable and full of glory? Praise God. Let's pray together if you would. Heavenly Father, I pray I was able to present this, Lord, in a way to make sense to them. Lord, I've asked you so many times in looking at this. There's always been a negative part about me. I knew it was there. I'd say things about myself and run myself down. And with my makeup, Lord, I'm hard to take compliments. And you know all my flaws. So anything go bad and I'm always down on myself. And it always happens to me if one bad one come across from China on the boat, I'll wind up with it. Lord, but I realize by saying those things, and I trace it way back to my childhood, being raised poor, being laughed at school, made fun of,
My first memories of being in school, as I've shared it with these folks many times, standing on the playground, wishing I had somebody to play with me. All my life growing up, wanted friends. Somebody that just liked me. The shoes we wore, the clothes we wore, they're in style today, but they wasn't in style when I had to wear them. My dollar shoe stores, and I hated Christmas. Probably one reason I don't enjoy it that much today. Because when we'd go back to school after Christmas, I always dreaded it. Because everybody talking about what they got. Mom and daddy's so poor, they might get me and Harry a little cheap racetrack or something together or some little cheap something. The time we went back to school after Christmas break is already broke or tore up. I always hated the thoughts of going back to school them first few days. I was always so glad when it was over and everybody got through telling what all they got. I got this and I got that and I got something else. So I realized all that is impounded in me. It's made me a very complex person. As all the rest of these people that are steering me tonight. And then when we get saved, when we become born again, you change our soul. But the complexity of our cells, the complexity of those neurotransmitters that were made by years of molding of these chemicals, they're still there. And it takes you to help us to change them. Lord, I'm willing to be changed. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong, Lord. Lord, we know it's not just positive thinking. It's not mind over matter. It's not Christian science. But Lord, there's a principle of truth. That's what we want, Lord. We want truth. Since we're children of truth, it don't matter the difference to me. Who said it? If it's truth, it's mine. I'm a child of truth. And truth belongs to me. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, help your servants, your ministers. How many of them, Lord, have killed their own self and their own ministry by their mouths, by their negative talking? Lord, help us. Help us to admit when we're wrong. Make us conscience, Lord Jesus. I know some people will hear these services and call me a nut. Honey, nothing new. They do anyway. But Lord, we want to be benefited by it, Father. We want to be changed. Lord, if nothing else is accomplished, other than just helping this church, my church, that you give me the charge over, if I can help them to live a more fulfilled Christian life, it'll be worth all the studying that I've done. All the looking, all the days on the end of effort that I put forth. Lord, if one person here could get it and be changed and really be the glory of a Christian, not just bear the mark on the outside, the hair and the dress and the this and that. I don't just want that. I want it written in my life that I'm truly changed, that people can see Jesus is still alive because they see him in me. I want to be a vibrant Christian, Lord. A vibrant, alive Christian. Help us, Lord. Forgive us of our negativity. Thank you for being patient with us, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We want to confess your word and speak your word. Hallelujah. The prophet said, only one way to get that positive faith, and that is think positive thoughts about positive things. So help us, Lord. When we hear a preacher preach about going to hell, we ain't going to get all down about it because he ain't talking about us. We ain't going to hell. When he preaches about Judas, he ain't talking about me because I ain't Judas. Help us, Lord. And that confidence is not in ourselves. It's in you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Can we raise our hands now? Is there anybody with me in the building tonight that feels like you need to be changed in this direction? You need to analyze, as we'd say, your self-talk. Listen to what you say to yourself. What you believe about yourself. What you believe about your relationship with God. Is he your Savior? Or is he just Brother Donnie's Savior? Is he real to you? Or just real to Brother Donnie? Is he real to you like he was real to the people that lived down through the ages? Listen to your self-talk. That'll tell you what you really are. Observe what you say. Observe what you think. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father. We want to look in the mirror tonight. Help me, Lord, to observe myself. Lord, I've been doing it, Lord God, in the last several weeks.
even more and more, but God, make me more sensitive, Father. I don't want to defeat myself with my own mouth and my own words. If we could realize, Lord, if there was a food we was eating which was giving us cancer, we'd stop it. Lord, if there was a chemical or something was taken into our body, outside of our body that was causing depression or something, Lord, we'd do our best to get rid of it. Yet we release them from our own brain. And they get us down and they get us weary and get us defeated. And then, Lord God, we wonder what in the world's going on. May these Christians realize much of our own abilities and much of our frailties laying right within us. Help us, Lord God. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord God, with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now let's just praise Him a little bit. Oh, is He your Savior? Your King? Your provider? Tell Him. You're my Savior. My King. My provider. I love you. And you love me. You died for me. You come to set me free. Let that be your testimony, friends. Not just you're in church. But when you walk out on the job and you go out afterwards, let this be your testimony. Every day out of the week, watch your life change and transform. Watch your physical body respond to that as well. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you tonight, Father. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Everybody! Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book. Praise the Lord. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every line. Trusting. Understand there is a doctor from Japan that has studied water for 26, 27 years. Studies water. Now what he does, he takes water and puts the droplets of water under a microscope and studies the molecular structure of this particular water, whether it's from a lake, an ocean, a stream. Then he'll take a content of water, whether in a tub or a glass. And he's done this with different types of people. Take this glass of water to a mental institution. Let someone who's totally insane hold this water. Take this water out of their hands. Take it straight out to his vehicle. Put this water under the microscope again. And see that the molecular structure has been changed. Then he will take this water back home and put it in his garden and put it on plants and watch them plants start to wither. Many of them will recoup after days of withdrawal and their leaves fading down. Then he will take the water to hospitals and he'll go all, they spend all these years studying water. Wow. Then he'll take this and give buckets of water or glasses of water to positive people. Now this ain't a message study. Just people with a positive attitude. And pour that water over plants in his garden and watch them plants explode in growth. And watch the molecular structure in that water be changed just from those people holding that water. And he also tried a very peculiar experiment. He prayed over some seeds. Had Christians to take some seeds and pray over them. And atheists to take some seeds and just keep them in their atmosphere. And then planted the ones that the Christians prayed over and the ones that the atheists had. Of course, you know the result. I love that. I know you think I'm weird, but I love that when the laws of God just manifest itself. And you say, if they can do that to a seed that has no soul, what about a seed with a soul? If they can do that to corn and maters and taters and cucumbers, what can it do to an attribute of God? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Can't you see, friends, when you get in church and you get in the right kind of atmosphere, why you feel like you can do absolutely anything? And do anything in the presence of God. What is it doing to you? It's like it's changing molecular structure in you. Like it does the water. Oh man, I want to be poured out on somebody tonight, don't you? I just feel like I want to be poured out on somebody to ignite their faith and help them to grow. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand. Palms of victory. Hallelujah. Let's sing tonight, Palms of Victory, before we go. Let's just sing a few happy songs, if you don't mind. Is it okay to be happy before we go? Would you all rather be sad? Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing it for us, Herring. Let's sing it together. Praise be to God.
I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad and troubling up the mountain. It seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy. His strength was almost gone. But he shouted,
"All right!
Journey,
this was his testimony. Deliverance is coming."
The sweat was on his brow, his garments worn and dusty, his steps seemed mighty slow, but he kept
pressing onward,
for he was going home.
Oh, yeah.
And he shouted as he turned,
"This is his testimony, deliverance has come."
Then palms of victory, crowns of glory. Sinking low, he'd overcome the mountain and reach the veil below. He saw that pyramid city, his everlasting home, and he shouted loud, "Hosanna, deliverance
has come!"
Then comes a victory, comes a glory, comes a victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sinking low, he'd overcome the mountain and reach the stars below. saw that golden city, his everlasting home, and his shout.
I want you to notice this guy in these verses. I saw a wayward traveler in garments tattered clad. And traveling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. It wasn't down in his soul, but it just kind of seemed like he was sad. His back was laden heavy. His strength was almost gone. But you see, his testimony wasn't the above words. This is his testimony, but he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Hallelujah! Positive thoughts may not take the tattered garments off of you. Positive thoughts may not make you make $500 an hour at your job. It may not alleviate all your problems, but it will give you victory in the time of trouble. It will give you peace in the time of storm, because that is your testimony. God bless you. See you in the morning. See you.
Then palms of victory crown of glory, palms of victory, I shall. Sweat was on his brow, his garments worn and dusty, his steps seemed mighty slow, but he kept pressing onward, for he was going hard, and he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance would come. Then palms of victory crown of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. The sun was sinking low. He would overcome the mountain and reach the very low. He saw that pyramid city, his everlasting home, and he shouted loud, oh,